This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the 4th of July weekend, everybody. Hopefully you're going to see some fireworks in the next couple of days. This is Kate Delaney. We have some sad news about flights. People have been delayed. It's been kind of a rough weekend for some people trying to get away for a few days or going to see friends or whatever it might be. And the riots in France are just out of control. Closer to home, sad story about a block party in Baltimore. And we got a couple of great guests that are coming up. One very much related to the 4th of July weekend and our government, and another, imagine growing up without a father, you're three, and you think he's been murdered, maybe by the mob. But first, let's talk about the flights being delayed, because that's where you are. You're out there, or maybe Friday you were hustling around, trying to go by car, but then realized it was quicker to take a flight. I know somebody that happened to. Hopefully, it was really the reverse, because that might have been the smarter thing to do. But so far, and this keeps changing depending on what airport we're talking about, and overall we have close to 2,000 or more flights that have been delayed so far in this holiday weekend. And it's a very long weekend, which is great because 4th of July falls on a Tuesday. So with the projections of 4.17 million travelers flying to their destination, there's about 2,500 delays. That's already happened. You know, the airline industry is trying to shake off the series of delays and cancellations because of poor weather. Then you had maybe 130 flights canceled. So I guess that's the good news. Cancellation is much different than delay. And hopefully the delays weren't too long. I think they really varied. The Transportation Security Administration expects to screen about 17.7 million passengers up until July 5th, because that really the weekend for some, the long holiday stretch anyway, I'm going to call it that, started back on July 5th, but you had severe weather and you had problems with towers and having enough air traffic controllers. United Airlines has been the worst hit. I mean, they've had more delays and cancellations than any other airline. 3,000 flights canceled the past week. About 50 of the airline's flights had been canceled on Saturday, but more than 300 have been delayed. I mean, listen, this is a couple of things working against them, and some of it had to do with the tower too as well. So it's like that weekend for patience. But I talked about France, and I actually have a woman who's a mentor friend who is in France, is in Paris, and says that they're okay and they're taking good care of watching where they go. But wow, 45,000 cops on the streets. It has been called now the Champs-Élysées, not the Champs-Élysées. That's sad. I mean, there's been a travel warning actually issued for tourists. It's that bad. I mean, this is a full blown crisis without a doubt. The gravity of the crisis can't be underscored. I mean, honestly, you had President Macron, who scrapped a trip to Germany, of course, because of what they're seeing on the streets. You overnight had the interior minister who tweeted out that things have been a little bit calmer because of the security forces, and the arrest from overnight was 420 plus people. Overall, 2,800 people have been arrested, and this all happened where you've got, you know, hundreds of police with batons and shields standing along the Champs-Élysées, several in front of the shuttered Cartier boutique. So you can only imagine what it looks like, and what certainly for visitors, what it would be, what it would look like. But what happened was you had a teen who was shot during a traffic stop, and you had video that showed two officers at the window of the car, one with his gun pointed at the driver. The teen pulled forward. The officer fired once through the windshield, and as soon as that happened, then that's when some of these riots started. And again, this goes for something that has been sort of a taboo topic for decades in France, race. And, cause they always say they're committed to a doctrine of colorblind universalism. But now with the killing of this teen, that has set things, on fire, upended, whatever you want to call it. But certainly with these riots, it's really a very bad situation. We go from the riots in what's happening in France to Baltimore. And unfortunately in Baltimore, there was a block party where you had two shooters that showed up and just started shooting. So two people were killed, 28 people were wounded in this terrible mass shooting. They've had a lot of problems with violence in Baltimore. And so much so, you have the governor talking about it, of course. You have the mayor talking about it. And it's just another instance during a celebration that it turns into a tragedy where lives shouldn't have been lost. And it's a reminder of what has been going on there, I think. And they're looking for the shooters right now. They don't have them in custody. So just 2 days into the month, this is one of three mass shootings in July and one of 338 mass shootings, by the way, in the U.S. in 2023. So people were just celebrating. It happened after midnight. And you had an 18-year-old who was pronounced dead after the shooting. You had a 20-year-old who also was pronounced dead at a hospital. So one, the 18-year-old at the scene, at the block party, one at the hospital. But what an awful, tragic situation, that's for sure. All right, lighter news. It was a big weekend, or is a big weekend, for movies. A lot of people have more time, so they take kids to movies, or they just go to the movies themselves, whatever your circumstance might be. The new Indiana Jones movie is, I think, wonderful. I went to see it earlier in the day on Sunday. I haven't been to a matinee in who knows how long, but the Hubs and I actually got up early, had some chocolate chip pancakes. I made them. And then we decided, we're tired. We're watching the Tour de France. We're kind of bopping around on some other things. And let's catch an early flick. So we went to the movie, and it was wonderful. He who is much more critical than I am of especially franchises, thought it exceeded his expectations, said he had read some kind of mixed reviews on it. But I thought it was really, really well done. I mean, look, this is the legendary character that Harrison Ford brought to life 4 decades. First time that Steven Spielberg hasn't directed it, he handed that over to James Mangold. And it had the normal things that you see in an Indiana Jones movie. But I think the plot was good. And, there's always some fantastical things. I don't want to give anything away, so I'm afraid to tell you too much about it. But let's just say he retires and he's feeling really bleak about his life. And then his goddaughter enters the picture, and then he goes on this crazy adventure. And of course, it's always about whatever the antiquity is and whatever bad guy wants to get that. But Dial of Destiny cost about $300 million to make, and then the opening box office numbers, $60 million in the United States and $70 million internationally. We'll see where that goes. All right, coming up next, Carol A. Alexander. She talks about her father being murdered but never finding the body, the family. And Dr. Sabrin joins us to talk about our government before and now. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, before we go to Carol A. Alexander, who I mentioned, and before we visit with Dr. Murray, you don't want to miss either one of those. Just terrific, terrific radio, terrific conversation. But before we get there, it's about you. I want to make sure I squeeze in a mailbag. And when I say squeeze in, because even though it's the holidays, you take so much time. I'm so impressed by all of you. I have to say that. And whether you agree with me, can't stand some of what's on the show, or you love it, and we get so much love from so many of you, I love it. That's like, how many times did I just say love there? Anyway, you never cease to amaze me. Let's put it that way. So without further ado, let's jump into this. And this one is from Deb, who says, hey, Kate Delaney, I was wondering if you think fireworks are a big deal when they go off in your neighborhood at all hours of the night. I live in New Jersey in a decent suburb. I say decent because we're not too far from New York, and it is a good place. It's a good community. But no matter what the police do, and, you know, I'm all about kids having fun. I'm not some pain in the rear end, let's call the police on all the kids. But I am tired of hearing fireworks go off when it's not even 4th of July. Well, you probably echo the sentiments of a lot of people who struggle with that. I will tell you, I walked the dog on Saturday night, and I waited till it got dark. And so it was probably about like 9:15. And we went around the block, and there were fireworks in the right. There were fireworks in the left. There were lots of fireworks going off, like bottle rocket kind of things. There were some things in the air. And so definitely I can tell you that they're going off, but not at 2 a.m, not even at midnight. So it was earlier, and it didn't bother me. And surprisingly, the dog, because, you know, that can be a big thing with dogs, the dog isn't scared by fireworks. Our other
golden retriever that we had for a long time, Mahalo, oh, he would just be shaking. He could not stand fireworks, but Guinness doesn't feel that way. So I feel you. I mean, yeah. I mean, come on, give people a break. You don't need to set them off at 2 a.m. That's ridiculous. Or if you are going to do that, you need to be in a remote area where nobody has to deal with that. Because it is one thing to set them off earlier, it's another thing, and days earlier, and it's another thing to do it where it's going on all night long. That would be, I have to say, I'm pretty tolerant, but that would probably be very annoying to me, especially if I didn't have off. If I have off, that's a completely different thing. All right, let's move on to something else. How about this one from Patrick, who says, Kate, what do you think the chances are of any other Republican candidate other than Donald Trump? You know, I voted for Trump the first time around. I liked the idea that he wasn't an insider. And some of the things that happened, I thought were horrendous. And some of the things he did, I think he could have gotten credit for and should get credit for. But I think there's something better. I think there's something better than Biden, too, by the way. I don't understand why we have to have a repeat of both of these guys. And I'm just wondering, as I'm a lifelong Republican, card-carrying conservative, I do want to vote Republican, if you think anybody else has really a good shot at this. Well, the answer to that is right now today, if you ask me, no, because all the polls clearly show that nobody's even polling close to Trump. Now, it could be different. It's one thing when people answer polls. It could be different when you get into the primaries. So the primaries are the thing. I know somebody who is a Republican, was sad by some of the things that happened that he didn't agree with the Republican Party lately, and he went independent, and now he said he's going to go back to the Republican Party, and he said because he wants to be able to vote in the primaries. So, you know, let's see what happens in the primaries. It's really important that people vote in the primaries, so make sure you get out and do that. But if you want to look at all the candidates, and there's a lot of them, and sometimes I'll hear a speech that I think is good by, you know, Tim Scott, or I'll hear something from somebody else, DeSantis or whoever it is. But I just know that when I look at those numbers aren't there. So, you know, let's see. I hate that. Let's see. But let's see. And let's see if some other candidate doesn't come out of the woodwork. But I don't believe there's anyone on the horizon that I think changes the game. Okay, this is a really interesting one. Michael said, Kate, I know you're a fan of wheel sports. Did you see what happened in Chicago? It was already sad that Jimmy Johnson, which you talked about, couldn't race in the race because of the horrific thing that happened with his in-laws and nephew, and that murder-suicide, it appears. But now it was rain that washed everything out. Crazy. It's just that Chicago race was cursed. Yeah, they had heavy rain that flooded the streets, and it trapped cars, and it forced them to cancel the last half of the race that was set to run through the downtown. That's why. So they had a flash flood warning for just all these different counties in the Chicago area, 6 inches of rain that had just pounded down, and they're saying it's life threatening. And this was like through 3 o'clock in the afternoon, impassable roads, overflowing creeks, streams. I mean, you know what that means when they say floods. And there's just like no way. How could you possibly have that happen? I mean, NASCAR officials had planned to complete the last half of the Xfinity Series race through the downtown on Sunday morning after suspending it on Saturday because of lightning. And they announced midday Sunday they had decided to cancel the race because of the rain and declared Cole Custer the winner. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, the start of the Chicago Cubs afternoon game against the Guardians at Wrigley Field was pushed back till way later in the afternoon. And, you know, it was a storm that was pinwheeling, they call it, and not moving. So when it pinwheels, it just dumps all that rain, and that's what you're left with. But thanks for bringing that up, Michael. That was a crazy situation. And you're right, because I kept wondering what was happening there. I was like, wait, what's going on? I don't understand. There's some kind of problem. I knew there was weather problems, but I didn't realize how bad the weather problems were. So, you know, there you go. Okay, so then let's move to this one from Frank. And Frank says, "Hey, Kate Delaney, I wanted to wish you and the rest of the listeners a happy, happy 4th of July. And there's something to celebrate. You know, we talk about all the fentanyl that comes across at our border. I have a neighbor whose son OD'd thanks to it and thanks to some of the drugs that he had gotten. Very, very, very sad. But I heard there was a very big bust that happened that they seized something like 900,000 or a million fentanyl pills. And anytime you get that kind of narcotic amount off the streets, and yes, I'm not naive. We know that that can be replenished. I think that's a good thing. Yeah. You know, we talk about the misses all the time. I'm also glad that you brought that up. It was a 45-year-old guy that was stopped at a port in San Diego last week. And he had 190 pounds of, you had the number right at first, the 900,000 fentanyl pills. That's like 2.5 million street value. And, you know, they know, look, I mean, they're aware that they're trying all kinds of innovative ways to bring it in. And they have to, and how can they stop someone? This trafficker, this story is interesting. This trafficker was using his porcelain sinks as a guise for hiding the pills. He was driving a Ford cargo van, and he had two porcelain sinks, but someone at the border was inspecting the shipment and found it. You know, that it tested positive for fentanyl. So they were obviously alerted to what happened there and seized the shipment, the cargo van, the fentanyl pills. They turned the driver over to Homeland Security for more processing there. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. Anytime you can nail someone at the border. And instead, we're always talking about the misses, and this is ridiculous, and I can't believe it, and what about this, and this, and this. I mean, bravo, that's a good thing. And they have to be alert to the fact that, and they know it, that there's so many creative ways of trying to make this happen, you know. All right, let's go to another one here. This one is Max. Hey, Kate, I emailed you last week, but I feel like I wanted to email you again about this July supermoon. I mean, there's other things I could talk about, the Supreme Court decisions, but I wanted to go, I'll call it soft, because I thought you would be interested in the moon. Did you see the July supermoon? 14,000 miles closer to Earth than a typical full moon event. Yeah, and you know what? The timing's good for this. This is why I went to this, Max. The full moon is going to rise on Monday, July 3rd, and it's going to reach that what they call peak illumination below the horizon at, I guess, 7:30-ish a.m. Eastern. If the local weather conditions are favorable, you could actually see it by looking to the southeast after the sun sets. How cool is that? I know I'm going to be doing that. All right, thanks for all the emails. I hope you're enjoying your holiday. Stay with us, everybody.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in this free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News update. The Secret Service has been investigating a suspicious substance found inside the White House on July 4th. NBC News White House correspondent Mike Mimoli.
A dispatch from a fire department personnel indicating that this may have been cocaine. The White House and official sources we've been speaking to are acknowledging that that dispatch exists.
One U.S. congressman is speaking out after a new poll showed just how confident people are in the U.S. government.
A recent Gallup poll shows 69% of Americans do not have confidence in the U.S. government. Iowa Republican Congressman and veteran Zach Nunn tells Fox News,
"So many Americans feel what's great about America is their local community, and the federal government would be well earned if they started listening more to what everyday Americans are advocating for."
Gallup polling also shows only 39% of U.S. adults are extremely proud to be an American. I'm Tim Berg.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Story. It's a novel you won't be able to put down. At a moment's notice, a witness to murder, Carol A. Alexander, is in our virtual green room. She joins us on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and it really is a powerful, powerful story. Carol, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, Kate. I appreciate that.
So tell me about the road to writing the story. What made you tell this story?
As I was growing up and I related the story to other people, everyone was fascinated by it. So I decided to write a book about the father I never knew.
And tell us what happened to the father you never knew. How old were you when he disappeared, and what happened? What's the story?
I was 3 years old, so that's why I never knew him. He disappeared after witnessing a crime in Manhattan. The police were looking for him. The mobsters, whoever they were looking for him. And he disappeared, never to be seen again. This is 1957.
Wow. And for your mother, what was life like? She had several children, right?
There were three children, all very young. I was not in school, obviously. She had no job. $15 to her name. And the house we were living in was not completed yet. They were building it together when he disappeared.
Wow.
So the situation was pretty dire.
And for you in piecing the story together, did your mother talk about it very much, or how did you find out some of the details you found out?
Throughout my lifetime, I would ask occasional questions, and my mother would not answer them. She didn't want to discuss it. I guess the pain was too great. And upon her death in 2014, I was going through her papers and discovered the file on my father, all the documentation and correspondence from police, Social Security, Veterans Administration, insurance companies, and two private investigators that my mother had hired, that they were looking. Police looked for him for 2 years.
Wow.
He was to be their witness. They wanted him.
And what did you find out that the police found out? Did they find any traces of him?
Yes, they did. They were searching through 13 different states, and they found his vehicle in the Chicago River. But there was no body found. He was just gone.
Wow. They find the car in the Chicago River. That's just incredible. Does it make you wonder if he somehow survived and thought it was safer to hide out somewhere? Or because nobody knows.
Exactly, nobody knows. And this is the reason why the insurance company would not pay on the life insurance policy. But do I think he's alive today? No, because he would be upwards of 100 years old. At the time, it was really a big question mark. I truly hope that he escaped and made another life for himself. He was fearful of coming back to us. But I'll never know.
Yeah. That curiosity would be so interesting in growing up. I mean, when people would ask you, because that happens with children, you were so young, and then you're in school, and especially in, you think in the 60s, the late 50s, but you're in school in the 60s, and people say, well, what's your dad do, or where's your dad? That had to be kind of hard.
It was very difficult for me, and the children can be cruel. And I was terribly bullied. I was a latchkey kid at that very young age. I had a key to the house. My mother was at work. My sisters were in school already, and I had to get myself off to school.
Yeah. And as a result of that, though, your mother was resilient. She raised the three of you, and she would have to have been pretty proud about the way that you all turned out, right?
Well, this is really two stories in one book. The one story filled with intrigue and suspense about what happened to my father and what did he do and did he make it. And the other story is about the courage and the strength of the woman who had to keep family together, make a new life for herself, and I think she did a pretty good job. We had tough times, very tough times, but was she proud? Perhaps later, after most of the disaster had finished. But I think she was just struggling to keep up with everything.
Well, and two, you have to think for people listening to this, and we're speaking with Carol A. Alexander, the name of the book, At a Moment's Notice, A Witness to Murder. You have to think of the times for a woman, too, getting a job and juggling the things that she had to juggle, but just even in finding workspace and being able to get whatever she could get to bring money into the house to be able to feed you and keep a roof over all of your heads.
Yeah, she really struggled with that. In a great way, because it was 1957, and mothers didn't work unless it was wartime. They were supposed to be home, and it was very hard. But she managed to work her way through. There were no social agencies to help at that time. Nobody to help single mothers. Nothing like that. She was on her own. That's right. Why I say it's really two stories in one.
Yeah. For you, was it cathartic or was it interesting to put the book together?
It was interesting and it was difficult because I only had basic information and the rest I glued together with fiction. To make it into an appealing book, and I do believe it's appealing. That's been my feedback anyway. But it's an amazing story. I still get a little emotional when I talk about it, as you can tell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's difficult. And it is a great story in the sense of the way you put it together. It's riveting to think of what happened and just the question marks that just hang in the balance and living with the question marks and not really being able to talk about it because there was no resolve. You don't know the answer. You don't have the answer of, wow, maybe he did escape and it was safer for all of you for him not to come back to your home. But who knows? We have no way to know.
Still unresolved to this day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope that people who have a dream or a goal of some kind, that they will be determined and not be beaten down by circumstances or obstacles, that they will be resourceful and determined to take one step at a time until they reach their goal. It's so important not to give up.
Do you think part of what happened with you made you realize that, made you who you were?
Oh, absolutely. Remember, I watched my mother struggle through many, many different issues. And even though we didn't get along, I still wanted to have those same qualities. And I like to think that I came away with them.
Yeah. Well, the book is, like I said, a fascinating read. There's no question about it. At a Moment's Notice, A Witness to Murder. Carol A. Alexander, thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you the best.
Well, thank you. And may I mention to the listeners where they can get the book?
Sure. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your website?
Yes. The website is under construction, but it will be done soon. And all those places that you mentioned, and I want to mention also, I'm currently having an audio book done.
Great.
So that will be available as well.
All right,
coming soon.
Yeah, that's coming soon. So those things, and right now the roads lead to the places we mentioned. Carol, again, thank you for speaking with us, and thanks to all of you for listening to the interview, and make it count, everybody.
Thank you, Kate.
My casual smile playing it. it's possible.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Green Room, Dr. Murray Sabrin, to talk about, of course, I was mentioning 4th of July, and he just did something that this is like perfect, right? The transformation of America from the revolution to the present. Boy, is that relevant to the timing of where we are right now. Dr. Sabrin, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, Kate.
So let's talk about your thoughts on that. And, gosh, a lot of the stuff that you talk about is so spot on, I have to say that. And you can find so much on Substack, obviously. But tell us about this and where we are now when we look at the past and we are here now in the present.
Well, if people recall in their history class, which they probably never got because it was never discussed, Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson had this great philosophical battle, political battle, at the early days of the Republic. Hamilton wanted a strong central government. Jefferson wanted a decentralized, limited government. And over time, the Hamiltonian view won out, not because the people wanted it, because the politicians kept on pushing it with their financial elites. And that's what gave us the income tax and the Federal Reserve in 1913. And then with the Depression crisis, we got Social Security, and then Johnson with the Great Society gave us Medicare and Medicaid, and since the end of World War II, endless war. So we basically have a welfare warfare state that is Hamilton's ideal. And Thomas Jefferson would be appalled as to where the country is today, as many of the founders would, because they created a country based upon liberty. That's what the Declaration of Independence was all about. And the Constitution was supposed to enshrine those principles with the Bill of Rights, but we know the Bill of Rights is under attack. The First Amendment, the free speech, is under attack on college campuses and in all across the country. And we know the Second Amendment, a lot of people want to get rid of it. So we have a real serious problem in this country, Kate. It's a constitutional crisis like we've never had before, because the government is spending money that's not authorized by Article 1, Section 8.
And how do you think that that erosion, you know, when do you think that really started, where we started to see more of that happening?
Well, you go back to the misnamed Civil War, which was really the war between the states, or the war for Southern secession. Lincoln gave us the first income tax up. Paper money. He suspended habeas corpus. He arrested and jailed his political opponents during the Civil War. And it's been all downhill since then. And it's just been every generation sees their liberties and their economic freedoms eroded by this Leviathan that we have in Washington, D.C. But as I've been stressing in my writings for many years and on radio interviews, that the American people, the entrepreneurs, the men and women who produce goods and services, they continue to forge ahead despite what the government throws at them in terms of taxes and regulation.
Boy, isn't that the truth. I mean, you know, I have so many friends that are entrepreneurs, and obviously in my career I am too as well. And what I see happening is there's, as you say, what gets thrown at them, there's so much red tape. There are just days, Dr. Saber, and we feel like we're just wrapped up in red tape. And you're right, it is about just trying to forge a way around it or through, because it at times is very difficult.
Well, that's why most people don't get involved in politics, because it's very time-consuming and the payoff is not that great. So people who have an entrepreneurial spirit, an entrepreneurial outlook, they say, hey, listen, I'm going to forget about everything that goes into Washington, that goes on in Washington and my state capital, and I'm just going to forge ahead with an idea that I think I can make a lot of money. And that's why shows like Shark Tank are very popular, because you have all these young entrepreneurs coming to them for capital, and they have these great ideas, and some of the Shark Tank panelists invest in them and make money as well.
Yeah. What's your biggest concern, as you have, as you said, you've written for a long time, you're watching it, you're in the middle of this. What's your biggest concern of where we're headed?
Oh boy, we don't have enough time to go over all my concerns. I mean, it's basically the endless wars that both parties have given us since 1945, when World War II ended. The enormous amount of debt that we have, the continuous money printing by the Federal Reserve that's debasing the dollar and giving us these economic cycles of boom and bust. So there's a whole litany of concerns that I have, and I think we're headed for a major financial crisis, because when you have $32 trillion in debt and a $7 trillion budget, which has doubled, I think, in 5, 6 years, 7 years, it just shows you that the fiscal responsibility of the members of Congress and the president is out of control, and therefore the American people are going to suffer if we do have a major financial crisis, which I do believe is sometime on the horizon, because eventually holders of dollars overseas are going to look at the value of the dollar declining and say, we don't want to hold dollars anymore. They'll cash them in. They won't buy any of our debt anymore. And that's when it's checkmate for the federal government, like we've seen around the world, where governments keep spending more than they can raise taxes and borrow. And then the central bank steps in and prints up money to cover the deficits. And that's what happened in country after country, most recently in Venezuela and Zimbabwe. We've seen it in Argentina. And, of course, the famous hyperinflation in Germany after World War I.
Yeah, we saw in Greece what happened. Yes. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And it's like you say, you know, you look at interest rates and the Federal Reserve and then what happens there and then what happens on the stock market. And it's just such a wicked, wicked cycle. I want to mention this. You can get Dr. Sabrin's book, From Immigration to Public Intellectual, an American Story, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Tell us about that. Tell us about your story.
Well, it's pretty common among immigrants like myself who came here as an infant in 1949. My parents were the only ones who survived the Holocaust in the native Poland, and my older brother and me were brought to America with my parents who wanted to live in a peace and security after fighting the Nazis for 5 years. And so I went through the New York City school, decided to become a teacher in New York City. I realized that that was not going to be my career. I went to graduate school, got a PhD, and in 1985 I got an appointment on a temporary basis to Ramapo College in New Jersey. And for 35 years I taught finance, including financial history of the United States, which the students absolutely loved because they got insights about how our financial system, business system evolved over 200 plus years, and many of them wrote me saying how they're going to use the ideas that they learned in the classroom in their own professional career. So that's very gratifying for professors to see that you have an impact on students.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you talk about the land of opportunity, and I loved your story where you talk about coming to New York and that your mother's aunt and uncle from Patterson were there at the pier, and what her aunt said to mom, and the letters and the sons, and then you were the one that shows up where you have blonde hair, shoulder-length blonde hair, and you said it was strange because neither parent had blonde hair. And you talk about that. You talk about what you just told us, you know, World War II ending and being liberated in their native Poland by the Russian army and all of that. Boy, you must have grown up in an interesting household.
Well, I was curious about why I didn't have any grandparents, why I didn't have any first cousins, aunts or uncles. And so over time, I got to learn about their experiences during World War II. My father wrote a memoir about his experience called We Dare to Live, which is available on Amazon. It's just a hair-raising story about his exploits as a partisan commander in Poland fighting the Nazis until he was liberated in July of 1944. So the war was essentially over for him a year before the war officially ended in the summer of 1945. So I got to learn about this stuff, and then one of my best gifts I ever got from my bar mitzvah was an atlas of the world, and I just studied that, and I said, this is really neat, learning about all these countries and the geography and other aspects of countries. And that's why I became a history major and a geography minor, and got a PhD in economic geography, but I taught finance because I developed the skills to teach those courses during my career before I went to Ramapo College. So I was always curious as a youngster, trying to find out what makes the world tick, what makes people tick. And I'm doing it right now in my Substack column at murraysabrin.substack.com. And the talk that I gave at my development here in Southwest Florida, I'm going to turn that into a series on my Substack column starting next month. And I'll take the reader through how the country evolved from supposedly a limited government republic to this monstrosity in Washington, D.C. that people are very concerned about because it's just unsustainable. That's the word I like to use. What we have today is just unsustainable economically, financially, and politically.
Yeah, boy, perfect place to end this. We'll look for that for sure. Dr. Sabrin, thank you.
Great to be with you, Kate.
Yeah, and I'll think about Dr. Sabrin when we're celebrating 4th of July and some of what he said with what we're talking about here on this show. It's crazy the amount of debt, the things that are happening, and we are in a constitutional crisis for sure. Coming up, your thoughts. We hit the mailroom next.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.